Deaths after a drug overdose have spiked among black drug users, men in particular. It isn't clear exactly why. To look for clues, WBUR's Martha Biebinger takes us to Brockton, the city with the highest percentage of black residents in Massachusetts. It's also one of the state's hotspots for drug overdoses and deaths.
I'm right here with the
council. We'll start in Perkins Park, a strip of grass and trees with a homeless shelter on one side and a church on the other. Judy Gustafson, the church office manager, hands out clothes and food here.
Locally, it's known as Needle Park because it's a place where there's a lot of drug traffic and drug use.
On a map that pinpoints every reported overdose in Brockton for 2021, Perkins Park is buried under blue dots. One belongs to Junior, a former high school football star. We're only using first names in this story for people who use illegal drugs.
I was falling right over here when I smoked that, no tolerance.
Junior thought he was smoking crack cocaine when he fell out or overdosed in the park. But what Junior inhaled was fentanyl. Junior and his friends have no tolerance for the powerful opioid that can shut down breathing in seconds.
It's taken out many of my friends. Fentanyl, that's very serious stuff.
Fentanyl showing up in crack and powder cocaine helps explain why black OD deaths are up 40% in Brockton since 2017. Junior and his friends didn't expect to get swept up in the opioid epidemic. Many do not carry naloxone, the drug that can reverse an opioid overdose, or take other precautions that have been drilled into opioid drug users. Junior says he's learning.
If you do it, you're going to be with a partner. If you're by yourself, high risk that you may not come back.
There are lots of theories about why we are seeing more fentanyl mixed with or substituted for crack and cocaine. Here's one. Gary, who used to spend a lot of time in Perkins Park, says dealers sell whatever they can get.
During COVID, when the streets were running out of cocaine, there was so much of fentanyl everywhere.
A UN report says there was more fentanyl than cocaine during the pandemic because it's easier to produce and traffic. Crack and cocaine come from plants harvested seasonally. Fentanyl is made from chemicals cooked up in Mexican labs. Fentanyl is so concentrated that small, lucrative batches can be sent through the mail. Gary says his dealer urged cocaine buyers to try fentanyl while they waited.
He told me, whenever I don't have coke, I do a little bit of this, and I'm okay. Just somebody show up with some coke. We would tell them, somebody overdosed on that, and he would say, that's because they didn't come to me. He didn't let me show him how to use this.
Gary didn't buy the story or the fentanyl, but he says people he used coke with in Brockton did, and in greater quantities as pandemic stimulus checks arrived.
They got the checks. They were buying a lot of drugs, and a week after, they were dead.
We spoke while Gary was on his way to counseling. At the time, he'd been mostly off coke for about a year. But Gary said he couldn't be in recovery at home because his family, who are from Cape Verde, had not acknowledged his struggle with depression and addiction.
They knew, but, it's taboo. We don't talk about it. They just ignore it. They just pretend it's not there.
One of Gary's counselors, Christina Cazo, says she often hears similar stories from other patients who are black.
A lot of the times, white families see addiction more as a disease that needs to be treated than black families do. I feel like a lot of times, with the black families, they see it as you just have it too good, or you just can never get it right, and it just get beat up on instead of trying to help.
Cazo, who practices at the Brockton Neighborhood Health Center, is Haitian. She says Haitians in her community are often told to deal with their addiction in church instead of in treatment. But then Cazo says black patients who do seek treatment don't always get help either.
I would see patients come into the detox unit or the emergency room seeking help, and they get immediately labeled as a criminal. This person has been here multiple times, or this person sells drugs, or this person was here before with a gunshot wound.
Fewer black patients in treatment may lead to more overdoses and deaths. In fact, street outreach workers say the official numbers only capture about half of the ODs in Brockton. Residents of a small tent encampment in the woods behind a shopping center say they rarely call 911 after an overdose.
We're not taught to believe that the policemen are your friend, you know.
This is Dave, who calls himself the mayor of this small community. He says he learned not to rely on white authorities during a traumatic childhood. A call for help ended with Dave pulled from his home.
They take you and put you in a system, and usually the system is, if not worse, the same, you know. So why not be abused by people who are at least your people than complete strangers, you know?
Dave has had a lot of time during COVID to think about the trauma he numbs with drugs. Clinics and services he relies on were shut down for months. He says isolation is one reason ODs and deaths are up for all drug users. But for some black drug users, there's another. Dave says the killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and others reinforced the feeling that black lives are easily dismissed.
Things have always been like that guy Floyd that they choked to death. I wake up with the knowledge that that could happen every single day anyway, you know. I knew that from day one, you know.
Dave says he learned that lesson again shortly after we spoke. The city of Brockton, at the request of the property owner, bulldozed his small tent village. Dave and others were warned and offered space in a shelter or help finding treatment. Dave sleeps now in the open in Perkins Park. The rise in black OD deaths in Brockton stuns even those who spend a lot of time in the park.
I don't understand that right at all.
Will Newton shakes his head as he looks across the trampled grass. Newton, who says he hasn't used drugs in 11 years, runs musical ministry at the church next to the park. He's a former lead singer with the Platters. Maybe you remember this one?
Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you can make the darkness bright.
These days, Newton is trying to brighten a different kind of darkness.
See, my goal is to build a community choir from all the addicts right out here. Can you imagine that?
On cue, Newton spots Michelle, a woman he hopes to recruit for rehearsal this week, and wraps an arm around her.
I'm going to have to drag out of the park Thursday. I'm going to throw that pipe down. You know what I'm talking about. You know I love you.
Michelle uses that pipe in her hand to smoke crack. She OD'd unwittingly on fentanyl last year. As for choir rehearsal, Michelle won't promise to show up.
It's some part of fear of actually doing something good, knowing that some way or another it's going to get knocked down or taken.
Michelle does love to sing.
After a while, we forget who we are.
Shh, tell me about it.
We lose ourselves. And because we think that nobody cares, then we don't care about ourselves.
No, these people need real help. Somebody take their hand. I know it sounds like babying them, but if the society really want to help some of these people out here, just don't drive by and say, oh, there's a program you can go to down the street. When we're caught up, we're not going to make it there.
The pressure is on Brockton to help more drug users make it. The city is part of a national study that's investing $350 million towards a lofty goal, reducing overdose deaths for drug users of all races by 40% in 3 years. Brockton got $1.6 million to determine what works or doesn't. Tomorrow, we take a look at what they learned.
If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention.
That's Michelle. And for 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.
If you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay.
Brockton is wrapping up a 2-year high-stakes experiment. A federal study is sending tens of millions of dollars to 16 communities in Massachusetts with the goal of reducing overdose deaths by 40%. Brockton, where 44% of residents are black, is uniquely poised to reverse a spike in black overdose deaths. WBUR's Martha Biebinger takes a look at how.
Last spring, you'd have seen a cluster of tents in this wooded section of Brockton. Now, there's only one. A man named Randy lives there. We're only using first names in this story for current or former drug users.
Just when 5 people have died out here, right here, just smoking crack, laced with fentanyl.
Randy doesn't know if his neighbors, who were black and white, had naloxone, brand name Narcan, the overdose prevention drug. Many crack and cocaine users don't realize their stimulants might include fentanyl, the opioid that can kill someone in seconds. The deaths shook Randy and turned him into a one-man rescue squad.
I've saved 3 lives in the last year.
Okay.
With Narcan. Mm-hmm. Okay, I always carry it, my friend. And I get it from COPE.
That's the COPE Center, run by BAMSI, Brockton's largest nonprofit human services organization. It distributed 12,000 doses of naloxone in the last year. BAMSI's Jesse Pack explains how to use it in in-person and online videos.
It's a nasal spray. This pointy end goes up the victim's nostril.
Some of Pack's efforts are funded by Brockton's HEAL Coalition. It's a group of 56 local leaders whose work is related to drug use or addiction. Members, including Pack, are spending some of their federal dollars on staff who distribute life-saving supplies.
And this is a fentanyl test strip.
Pack rips open a package and pulls out a baby Band-Aid size piece of film.
There we go. So folks can use this test strip and dip it into a solution of water with some of the drugs that they're using on the street. Within seconds, you can detect whether fentanyl is present in that drug.
After the deaths in Randy's tent encampment, Pack decided he needed to get those test strips into the hands of people using crack or cocaine. He searched for a way to make connections and draw them into the COPE Center. His solution? Handing out little glass vials that work as single-use crack pipes.
The number of people coming to us exploded, people who primarily use stimulants, and about 67% of those folks are black or Latinx.
The federal government doesn't pay for crack pipes, so Pack uses private funds. But promoting harm reduction is a key part of the HEAL Coalition action plan. It includes training people who use drugs to distribute naloxone, adding addiction treatment providers to local medical facilities, telehealth options for people who live on the streets, rides to treatment for newly released inmates, and a mobile clinic with an outreach team. That's a trailer clinic staffed by a nurse, recovery coach, and program manager from the Brockton Neighborhood Health Center. It parks at 7 known overdose hotspots at least once a week. The health center's Allison Pinkover says the team tries to reach people most at risk.
People who might have just recently been incarcerated.
And may use a dose of drugs they can no longer tolerate.
People who may be homeless. Yeah, at this point, I think we're just kind of trying to run the gamut and hope that we catch the right people.
Today, some trailer staff go looking for patients in another tent encampment.
Hey, is Angela back there? Angela? And Brian?
Those patients are not in, but the team spots a man named Dave. Their conversation winds around to addiction treatment. A nurse on the trailer can prescribe buprenorphine, also known as Suboxone. It's a low-dose opioid that reduces the craving for something stronger. But Dave says many of his friends won't use it.
Switching one addiction to another, is that correct?
That's part of it. But usually it's just they don't do it. If you know you can get this medication for free, but you can turn around and make $300-$400 off of it, are you really going to take that medication or are you going to sell it? Drug addicts, they don't do the smartest things, I should say.
Mistrust feeds treatment resistance, too. Dave says he and other black people who use drugs learn not to ask for help, especially if the helpers are white.
That's our beliefs, yeah. What's going on in this house stays in this house.
The HEAL Coalition coaxed more public conversations about addiction with black and immigrant communities through a series of public affairs shows in Cape Verdean and Haitian Creole.
Positive impact.
Four radio programs in Haitian Creole covered drugs, addiction, treatment options, and family support. Co-host Marlene Amedy says one goal was to get at some deep-seated feelings.
The family feel that they're being cursed, or family feel that they are a failure.
And explain that a child or spouse or cousin with an addiction has an illness.
An illness that needs someone to support them, same as someone having cancer.
Amity told the HEAL Coalition that some Haitians will talk about very private problems with their pastors. So Heal paid Amity and Pastor Roberto Silveira to educate church leaders about harm reduction and treatment options.
Make me over again.
With church choir practice in the background, Silveira says there are lots of misperceptions. Some pastors tell people who need help with an addiction to rely on God rather than on science-based medicine.
Science comes from God also, so God's providing all the service to the community, so why not bring the service to the flock?
Silveira praises the Heal Coalition for bringing organizations that haven't worked together in the past into a collaborative, coordinated relationship.
We used to be very disconnected, and I see a lot of change.
But even with all of the changes and the $1.6 million Brockton spent through the study, it will be hard to deliver a 40% reduction in deaths. Drug overdose deaths increased 9% statewide last year.
I would hope we would buck that trend.
Dr. Jeffrey Sammet, who leads the Healing Communities Study in Massachusetts, says Brockton and other communities deserve a lot of credit for persevering through pandemic shutdowns, shortages, and illness.
It's pretty impressive, and it's very heartening. But whether it's sufficient to make the difference in opioid overdose deaths, that's an open question.
And here's another question. What can Brockton keep funding after the federal money stops on June 30th? Some organizations have secured replacement grants, but not the largest HEAL project, staff for that mobile clinic. Pinkover says her team will keep reversing overdoses while she searches for money.
Everybody wants to say that it's a crisis, but we're providing these really critical services in the community, and we're just constantly looking for grant funding.
Brockton is scheduled to receive about $500,000 this summer, the first of many corporate opioid settlement payments. The mayor's office did not respond to questions about how the city plans to spend that money. Yet as it rolls into cities and towns across the country, Brockton and other healing communities could provide valuable guidance about what works or doesn't to save the lives of people using drugs. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.